Hey, welcome back to the Dwell Differently podcast. It's Natalie Abbott. Today, I'm talking with my sister, Vera, and we are talking about a beautiful verse about our salvation and the salvation that we have in Jesus and what we get when we believe in him, a new heart and a new spirit and the desire to follow him. What does that look like? Vera shares her salvation story, and it is just such a beautiful reminder for us of why we love Jesus and an encouragement for us to share our faith. I'm so glad you're here with us, and let's dive in. Hey, I'm Natalie Abbott.
And I'm Vera Schmitz. We are sisters who host the Dwell Differently podcast.
We help you memorize and meditate on one Bible verse every month. And all month long on our podcast, we talk about what that verse means, why it matters, and how we can apply that verse to our daily lives. Hey, welcome back to the Dwell Differently podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Abbott.
And I'm your sister, Vera Schmitz.
Ooh, yes. Okay, happy guys. April. Yes, we are so glad to be here with you. Our verse this month is fire. It is such a great verse. I think it's a really great verse after looking at what we discovered last month. So last month we talked about how Jesus has come to serve us, not to be served by us, but to serve us and to give his life as a ransom for us. So that is what is on offer by Jesus, that he would serve us, that he would give his life for us. And now we have this verse. It comes from Ezekiel 36:26. It says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." This is what it looks like when we believe in Jesus. He gives us a new heart and a new spirit. He removes our heart of stone and he gives us a heart of flesh. Now, I will say that the actual context of this verse is tricky because it's coming from an Old Testament passage. It's a prophecy. The people are currently in no-no land where they have been banished because they were not following God. And yet in the midst of their sin, in the midst of their captivity, God says this to them. And this promise is really most fully fulfilled in Jesus, who does actually give us a new heart. He gives us his spirit. He removes our heart of stone and he gives us a heart of flesh. But this is also a promise for God's people at that time. And if you want to find out more about that, go back and listen to our teaching episode at the beginning of the month. But for now, Vera and I are going to talk about some of these questions that we send out every month. If you are a member, they are questions that help you kind of think about what does this verse mean and how do I apply it to my life. So before we get started talking about the verse itself, Vera, have you ever interacted with somebody who had a stone cold heart? Or here's the addendum part of the question that wasn't on the card. tell me about a time when you had a stone cold heart. So those are your two choices.
Well, I'll take the second choice because it's in the nearest memory. I got into an argument last night with my husband, and even after we said sorry and forgave the other person, like in my head and in my mind, I wanted to forgive him and I wanted to move forward, but I was still feeling very shut down. Like I could have gone on and on and on for a long time feeling like a cold stone. I literally said that to him.
But before you did?
Yes. Last night we were laying in bed and I just was like, dude, I feel like a cold stone. I'm sorry. I just do.
So here's my question. Yeah. What did you do? Like, how do you, when you find yourself in that place where you got a stone cold heart, what do you do?
Well, unfortunately, it was very late last night. And so I just confessed to him, like, I got to be honest, I'm still feeling stone cold, but I love you. And then the morning I woke up and I felt totally like reconciled to him. Because like I knew that's what I wanted. I couldn't beat the dead horse anymore. It was like, but I'm still feeling cold. I'm sorry. But I think a lot of times, and we're going to get into this as we talk about this verse, I need the help. I need some help when I am stone cold like that. I feel, it really feels like there is nothing I can do to change how I'm feeling right now. And I'm right. There is nothing
totally
I can
right.
do.
You're totally right. I mean, if you think about this verse, who is doing the action? It's God.
It's God.
Yeah. He's the one that removes our heart of stone. He's the one that gives us a heart of flesh. And he also, it says later, in Ezekiel, verse 27, let me find it here. It says, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Like, God is the one who is doing the action here. And it is a picture of our salvation, right? But it's also a picture of that continual, we have this tendency to move away from the Lord, and we need to ask the Lord, like, give me a heart of flesh. I know that I have a heart of flesh. I don't know why it's stone cold right now. I know that your spirit is in me. Convict my heart. Help me to forgive and to ask for forgiveness. Those kinds of things, I think, are really essential for the Christian life. Let me ask you this question. It's another question from our questions that we send out. We can be tempted to think that we just need to be cleaned up before we can come to Jesus. This verse gives us a different perspective. What's true of everyone's heart before trusting in Jesus, and what's true of everyone's heart who has placed their faith in him?
Again, it goes back to who's doing the action.
Right.
We cannot clean up, man. I would be doing all the cleaning all the time.
Yeah, right.
And praise God, like, again, it goes back to the context. Like, these folks were banished. They were not in a good spot, and God comes to them. And that's when we're feeling like that, when we feel distant from God and banished, which we all are before we accept Jesus, like, the tendency is like, nobody loves me. Nobody would do anything for me. And
I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it.
Like, when you get to that end of yourself and you're truly honest with yourself, and then you hear this and you hear that God comes right then with the promises, and I'll give you a new heart and put my spirit in you. Like, that is so good. Because when I think about how I relate to my loved ones when they're at odds with me and they're wrong, like, I'm just thinking about a child who has done all the bad things, you know, like, written all over the walls in marker when they know not to do that. When they feel all the shame and they deserve all the punishment, like, we want to go to them and reconcile and pour nothing but love on top of them, you know? But the child feels like, I deserve none of this. Like, don't
they
even
feel shame.
They want to put their blankie over their head, which I've recently seen this done.
Wait, was it you doing it or was it the kid?
I'm not going to answer that. But it's just, you know, we can never, ever clean up. Hmm. We can never do it. And God comes running after us. And any sort of thing that you are seeing in your mind where God is distant and his back is turned from you, that is not true. He is facing you and his hands are open to you, and he is offering a new heart and he wants to put his spirit in you. This is for the person, first and foremost, who has never put their trust in Jesus. This is on offer for you, no matter how far and messed up you feel. Like, Jesus turns towards you and offers his everything for you. That's what we talked about last month. And for the folks who are, maybe have been walking for a long time, but you feel like you're in a desert wasteland, like, this is for you now too. You know, we all go through seasons of drought. We all do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, this specific verse, and even the verse that I read, verse 27, it encourages us to recognize that because God is the one who first saved us, who has given us new hearts, who has given us his spirit so that we would even want to follow him, we also can't muster up those things. You know, we can't in our flesh continue to do the things that we should do in order to follow Jesus. We need to ask him, hey, Lord, I know your spirit is in me. Would you convict me? Would you move me? Would you change my heart in this whatever thing that is really, really hard? I just think sometimes we have this thought process where, even as believers, where we get far enough away that it's like, well, I need to earn my way back. And that is just not the case. You know, that is not who our God is. He is the one who is like the story of the prodigal son. He's waiting on the porch, looking out, waiting for you to come back. Yep. He
wants you so deeply, and he knows. He already knows your sin. Just confess it, get it out. Get it out there, ask for forgiveness, and he will forgive you and he will embrace you. And that is his love for you. It will, it's a thing that I always tell my kids. You could never do anything for me to love you more. And you could never do anything that would make me love you less. So that is how God feels about you. You could never do anything for him to love you more. And you could never do anything for him to love you less. The God of the universe loves you, and we can see it most clearly in Jesus, who gave his life as a ransom and a payment for all of the bad things that you have ever done. And when you receive him, he is the one, his righteousness is what saves you, not your righteousness. It's his. He gives you his righteousness. And that is the beautiful truth that we have to live in as Christians, because realistically, we're going to keep on failing. We're going to keep on sinning. But ultimately, what's beautiful in this verse, even, and in this passage in Ezekiel 36, is that there's this other promise that God makes about forever. And you can go back and listen to this on the teaching episode, but there's a culmination. There is a forever culmination of this. We will not always struggle against sin. We will not always live in a place that, where we experience the sins of other people and the hardships that we have in the world right now. God is coming back. Jesus is coming back, and he is going to renew all things and restore all things to their right order. And so we can have a hope and a joy in our right now, knowing that those things are true, and that this promise, this new heart that we are given, this new spirit that we are given, is a deposit. It's a guarantee that we will one day be fully restored and unable anymore to sin. And that is, man, I need that promise.
Yeah. It makes me think there's a Psalm, it's Psalm 51:12, and it says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." Grant me a willing spirit. Like, man, when you're in that desert place, like, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Help me to remember what it was like when I first knew that Jesus had saved me, when I first accepted him. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant me a willing spirit. Like, I do not feel willing right now. I do not feel it. Because we sometimes don't feel it. But that is not the end. We can ask God even for the thing that we feel like we should be able to bring to the table, a willing spirit. And he says, no, just ask me for it. Just say to God, grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Yeah. That is what is going to sustain me, is the spirit that he puts inside of me.
I love that. Well, here's my question for you then, Vera. One of the questions in our digital kit was, would you like to share your story of God giving you new life? Like, Vera, would you like to share how God did this in your own life?
Yeah, I would love to. I've shared this story before, but I just want to remind people that no matter how old you are or how young you are or how far away you are, like, Jesus is always near and always waiting for us to turn and say, I want you more. And so that happened for me as a little kid. I was 8 years old, and, you know, I share my story a lot about, you know, having a little bit of anxiety and being kind of a people pleaser and a perfectionist. And I was that way since I was real little. And so you can imagine an 8 year old walking around with these pressures that I put these on myself also. I did not have helicopter parents. I did not have parents who told me I had to win every gymnastics competition. Like, that just wasn't the vibe. It was my own doing of inside of me. I had this internal, you know, need and motivation to win and earn everything. And I worried about all the things all the time. And that's not, like, even at a young age, I felt the weight of that. And I can remember not wanting to feel that way anymore. And Natalie came home from college. She had started going to Campus Crusade for Christ, and through her amazing story of really searching everything, all the religious texts and all the things, she had come to this conclusion that Jesus was the one and the Bible was true of all the things. And she came home one night and just was like talking to me, putting me to bed. And I was telling her I was anxious about something. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember what it was. I mean, I was just kind of had an anxious spirit. And she shared Jesus with me and she's like, do you want to follow Jesus? Do you want peace? You don't have to worry. And I said, yes. And I started following Jesus when I was 8 and it was real. Like it was real from that moment. And so if you're a parent out there, like your little guys and girls, like it's not too soon. It's mm-hmm. never too soon. Jesus says, bring me the little children. And what a gift that has been. I pray all the time for my kids that they would follow Jesus at a young age.
Yeah.
Because I have leaned on him since I was little. And I often think back to that and I'm like, oh man, what a grace to me because of my tendencies that he saved me young. So mm-hmm. I didn't have to endure like my own stuff by myself for a long time. He's mm-hmm. always been with me and he's with me now. And I have to, that's what I have to remember is just recently I was sharing with some of my friends that I imagine Jesus saving me at 8. I imagine Jesus loving me as an 8-year-old. Like when I envision him, it's me and him and I'm little. And I don't always remember him putting a new heart in me at 36, but he loves me just the same right now. And all those performance tendencies I have, like that's still real for me at 36. And it is still real for me to come to Jesus now at 36. And he will give me a new heart and he will give me a spirit that sustains me. And he will give me a heart that wants to follow his decrees.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful. That's what I want, you know?
Yeah. I love that, Vera.
And honestly, that Psalm, that 51:12, like restore to me the joy of my salvation. That's something I'm praying for myself right now. Not the joy of the work that I do, not the joy of what I've earned, but the joy of my salvation. To remember that little girl who put her trust in Jesus and felt everything come off of my shoulders. That's still available to me right now. You know?
Yeah. I feel it. Sorry.
It's real. This is real talk, it's guys.
Too real. I also would say, for anybody who didn't accept Jesus when you were 8, who maybe lived a different kind of lifestyle for a while.
That's why there's two of us here on this podcast.
That's right. I just want to say, Jesus, while you were still a sinner, chose to give his life for you. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that is a beautiful thing. There is, again, nothing you could have ever done that is bigger or, like, I should say, that is too big for God's grace and mercy to cover it. There is nothing that you ever could do that is too far gone, that is too far bad, that is gonna, you know, keep you from the God of the universe who made you, who is your father and loves you and is calling you to himself. Whether you believed when you were little, whether you believed sometime when you were in college or later, or whether you've never put your trust in Jesus, guys, this is who Jesus is. He is near. He came in a way that was gentle and kind, and he is offering to give you the thing that you can't give yourself. Mm-hmm. If you want to imagine your best possible life, it's a life with Jesus. It's a life that has peace and joy and that you are able to forgive others and forgive yourself. It's a beautiful thing to know Jesus and to walk in a way that follows him. And it's on offer right now for you. You just have to reach out and grab it.
That's good, Nat.
Yeah.
It's really good.
All right, friends, I think we're going to wrap it up here. I don't know that I have anything better to say than that.
That's it. That's all we got, man.
That's the best. But we love y'all. Thanks for listening today. And I just pray as you meditate on and memorize this verse that it would really sink in deep. I pray that if you're a believer, that you would share this message with other people. Remember your salvation. Remember what Jesus has done for you. And don't look at those people who have, you know, who are different than you maybe, who are like, ooh, I don't know, they seem like this or that. They need Jesus just as much as everybody else. Or don't look at those people who maybe are intimidating to you because they have a lot of wealth or status or whatever. They need Jesus just as much as you do. And don't look at those little people in your life and think they couldn't understand it. They need Jesus just as much as you. Mm-hmm. We all need Jesus. So share this verse this month. Share the love of Jesus this month.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Thanks for joining us, guys. We'll see you again back here next week. We've got an awesome guest coming on. I know you're going to love it. And we will see you then.